Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus. Spoken word of God versus the written word of God, that is the Bible. Day three of our adventure, our year of the Bible, and we are into the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, again, one of those best-selling stories, you might have heard of it. Tower of Babel, the people are supposed to disperse all over the land, and then they decide they want to do something impressive. They want to build a tower, and they want to be like gods. So I just want to point out a couple things about this. Again, you know, one that has a story that has ancient Near East roots, like most all of them do. Why is it included here? So the reason that they give for wanting to build Tower of Babel is they want to reach up to heaven and they want to make a name for themselves. They want to make a name for themselves. They want to be able to reach up to the heavens. They want to be safe. Safety does not come, the Bible's making clear here, safety does not come from any kind of safe things that we do. Because the safe things we do are, you know, the safety precautions that we take are ultimately, they may be prudent to do in the moment, but they are ultimately not going to take care of us. So, and also they're minuscule. So, a line that I love. They built this tower, and they're speaking the same language. And it says, so they build this impressive tower. Wow, look at them. And it said, and God came down to look at the tower, which is, you know, one of the things we talk about is, you know, when you read the Bible, you find, and you know, you read it closely, you find out where the jokes are and where the insults are. God came down to see. Now look, we know that God can see everything, right? And God is omnipresent and all those kind of things. So then why would you say God came down? To say that the best thing that they could do, the highest, most impressive monument they could make, God had to kind of come down and squint and see it. He's like, oh, that, you know, it's kind of like when your kid, you know, brings you some artwork and you say like, oh, wow, you know, there you go. So God had to come down to see this, you know, the most magnificent thing they could come up with. God had to come down and see it. So he comes down and sees it. They are not going to be safe. So what's the sin of the people who are building the Tower of Babylon? One is that they don't want to live the way that God told them to live. God told them to go disperse. Remember the Noah descendants, and go disperse and be fruitful and multiply. And for whatever reason, they decide they don't want to. They want to do that. Maybe it's because they'd be safer, right? They wanted to sort of come up with one clan. So that's the sin there. And God says, no, we're not going to do that. You're not trusting in God. You're not following the instructions that I gave you. So then you get this judgment. But one of the and so he sends them all out, and so they're all speaking different languages and so forth. So it's part of this God's plan that you have these various sort of tribes and nations and cultures and all that kind of stuff, which is to say that built into God's plan for the world is a kind of diversity, right? Ethnic diversity, tribal diversity, linguistic diversity, right? All those things. These differences between people are not a bad thing. Instead, they are actually something that God likes. Different gifts, right? Not just different strokes for different folks, although you also could say that. But indeed, that diversity is something that God actually wants. Doesn't mean that everybody gets along all the time. We're fallen people in a fallen world. Does not mean that everybody gets along all the time. But they should, you know, but they should. But that doesn't mean that they all have to be the same. Difference is good in the biblical imagination. Difference is good. Differences in language is good. But I'd say, but wait a minute. Aren't they supposed to you know, tell everybody about Jesus? Aren't they supposed to be under the lordship of Jesus? Yes, they're supposed to be under the lordship of Jesus, but in their own, you know, like in their own context, in their own way, not necessarily be, you know, all be under the lordship of Jesus in the exact same way, you know, like with some mediation. So one of the, you know, there are a couple at the English Reformation, there are a couple big things that happened right away that were a very big deal. It was part of it. One of them was married clergy, which is, they didn't even have a conversation about it. They're like, yep, I think we're going to go get married. Say what you will. It's another story for another time. But one of them was sort of hearing and then reading, when possible, the Bible in the vernacular. That was a break with the Roman Catholic tradition. And the idea is people should be able to hear the Bible in the language that they're used to, the language that they can understand. They should be able to worship in the language they understand. Now, it's worship of the one God, right? The one triune God. That is the thing that is the same. But all the other things are just fine. And, you know, I have some very specific ideas about, you know, about how we should worship and what the most edifying worship is. And I have very strong ideas about what the music should be like and what it should not be like and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, and in my finer moments, I do remember this, at the end of the day, that's not the most important thing. You know, that's not the most important thing. The lordship of Jesus is the most important thing. The worship of the triune God, that's the most important thing. And the way that we do it, it's all good. It's all good. Now, what does that say about things like creeds? Well, things like creeds, you want to make sure that the thing that you are worshiping, right, that the object of your worship is the triune God, right? The lordship that you are acknowledging is the lordship of Jesus, the Son of God. So that's important. But the way that these things happen, the way that these things manifest are, the sophisticated quarter, you know, 25-cent word for it is adiaphora. How do you like that? Adiaphora. It's details that can all be, that can all be taken care of. So that's the Tower problem. Last thing I want to say, you know, and I said these wouldn't be so long, but I just keep going on. Last thing I want to say about this Tower of Babel, the word Babel comes up a bajillion more times in the Bible. I say, now, where is that? It's not Babel. The word Babel there is the word Babylon. Right, and in Babylon, you guys know I have an obsession with the Book of Revelation. The word Babylon is the place of sin, right? Babylon is the place, is like the city that, you know, the streets run with the blood of the saints and that kind of thing. So note that. Well, there's a number of things to note for that, but one of them is the Old Testament does not like cities. This changes in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, they do not like cities. So every time cities are mentioned, in fact, remember back when you read about Cain and Abel, and then, you know, Cain kills Abel, and then he goes and he founds the first city. He establishes the first city. Old Testament doesn't like cities. Anyway, this is Babylon. God had wiped out the world with God's judgment in the flood. Then he had forgiven the world through Noah. And then the world had what? You know, pretty quickly returned to its old ways. They wanted to make a name for themselves, right? Which is to say, they wanted to be like gods. They wanted to receive the praise of people. Oh, it feels so good to receive the praise of people. They wanted to receive the praise of people. They wanted to be safe. They wanted to establish them as safe. They wanted to establish them in safety. And God said, no, none of that stuff. none of that stuff. I'm in charge of taking care of the world. My law is the law that will protect you. And the people say no. And then I had one other thing, one last thing. Babylon. Oh, and of course, this curse of Babel is what is reversed in the day of Pentecost. The day of the Pentecost after the ascension of Jesus, the disciples are there in the room saying their prayers, and the Spirit comes down, and they can speak in every language. Again, everyone is able to understand in their own language. And what is being said are words of peace. Right? What is being said, everybody hears in their own language, what they're able to hear is the good news of God in Christ. But that is down the road. We will get there when we get there. Just say that this cycle of sin, judgment, and forgiveness. Sin, judgment, and mercy, we might say. Sin, judgment, and mercy is the story of the Bible. And we're seeing it each and every time. Trust Jesus. You can trust Jesus. He'll keep you safe. Don't worry about the praises of human beings. Don't put any stock in what they say about you, good or bad. Don't worry about a single hair on your head, because the Lord is the one that we can turn over our lives to. So that is day three. Hope that the year of the Bible is going well for you. Let me know if you have any, thoughts, any questions. Make sure you use the discussion board if you feel so inclined. And I'll see you again tomorrow.